You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Of course, we wanted to let you know, breaking news, Sheldon Richardson suspended for 4 games. And as you know, Gibbs, with the new substance abuse policy, you don't get 4 games unless you violated the policy. I think it's 4 times.
Way to go, Josh Gordon.
It's a good break for the Cleveland Browns, who take them on
week one. It's a monster
break.
Now we said,
huh?
It's a monster break. You kidding
me? It's huge. Yeah, it's great. Let's go. Let's play the game. I'm ready. All right. So we talked about asking Siri what 0 divided by 0 is. And Gibbs, I'm gonna ask Siri right now. And we're gonna play it over the air. Here we go. Siri, what is 0 divided by 0?
Imagine that you have 0 cookies and you split them evenly among 0 friends. How many cookies does each person get? See, it doesn't make sense. And Cookie Monster is sad that there are no cookies. And you are sad that you have no friends.
What is that?
I mean, what in the world is that?
Who put that bug in the system?
That's unbelievable.
Who put that bug in the system?
First of all, Cookie Monster said there are no cookies, and I'm sad that I have no friends. I mean, nobody's winning here. Siri is being nasty and spiteful and mean.
What is that?
I mean, how do they even discover it? Because how many people would you expect to ask Siri what 0 divided by 0 is?
I wonder, was it just a disgruntled employee that was like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to create a program that if someone's dumb enough to ask that, or think that they're being a little smart, you know what? I'm going to give them an answer.
I don't know, man. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
And for those wondering, the Jets face the Browns, the Colts, the Eagles, and the Dolphins before their week 5 bye. Sheldon Richardson will be eligible to return in week 6. Got some questions also I wanted to answer before we do the Bills forecast here about that coaches list of the top coaches in the league. So we'll just go through it real quickly.
That's fine.
Number one on the list is obviously Bill Belichick. Well-deserved. And then the other questions I got other than that was, where are the AFC North coaches? And this is part of the problem for the Browns. It's a very good division. You think about the Browns. We talked about that ESPN thing where they ranked the Browns with the 14th best roster in the National Football League. That's great, right? You're in the top half of the league. Problem for the Browns is every other team in their division was ahead of 14. And so you go look at the coaches. You got Pettine at 28, which I think is too low. John Harbaugh, number 3. It goes Belichick, Pete Carroll, John Harbaugh, number 3. 4 is Mike McCarthy. 5, Sean Payton. 6 is Mike Tomlin. Bruce Arians is 7. Tom Coughlin is 8. John Fox is 9. Andy Reid, 10. Chuck Pagano, 11. Marvin Lewis, 12. So if there are 8 divisions in the National Football League, and you have, you know, to get to your 32 teams, the top 12 should be made up of 1 and 1/2 coaches from each division, right?
Okay.
The AFC North has 3 of the top 12 coaches according to this ranking. 3 of them. That's why this is a very difficult division. That is why this is tough for the Browns. Good rosters, good coaches, good organizations, perennial playoff teams. The Browns have to crack that, and when they do, it will be so meaningful because we will have known it's not like the Colts who are just running over the Tennessee Titans and the Jags and the Texans when they were a little bit downtrodden. This is a division where every team is good.
Boy, I mean, that's – you make a great case for it. I mean, there's no way else to describe it or break it down. I don't have an answer for that.
No, it's just tough. It's tough.
It is.
But I do think that this is a team that is trying to build it the right way, and hopefully they are able to get it done.
And we've said it before, training camp when training camp comes, and I think I heard a promo today, ESPN Radio was saying something like, I think it's 70 days till the opening of NFL, till game one.
Yep.
70 days. Get ready. It'll be here before you know it. But it's one of those things where there's going to have to be some serious decisions made with that roster at the end of training camp. There's going to be some guys that get cut on this team that a year ago were impact players or had an impact on this football team. I mean, that's how deep this team is now. And I keep going back to that. That's my biggest takeaway from the offseason. We got a lot of people on this football team. And, you know, Mike Pettine said it. We're not keeping 10 defensive linemen because, well, we have to keep 10 of this and 10. We're keeping the best 53 people. And we'll go from there.
That's what you're, That's exactly what this team should do, and that's what they're in position to do, and that's how you get better in the NFL. The Buffalo Bills trying to do the same thing. We had Vic Carucci on. If you missed Notorious VIC, get that on ClevelandBrowns.com or, of course, the Browns mobile app. But now we're going to do a little bit of a Bills forecast, Gibbs.
Number one.
All right. First question up today, Nathan. Who starts opening day for the Buffalo Bills? Matt Cassel, EJ Manuel, or Tyrod Taylor?
I'm going to say Matt Cassel gets the start because all the reports are that EJ Manuel has looked terrible and that Tyrod Taylor's got flashes but is not really an every day, every week starting quarterback for your team. So I think kind of by default, they've traded for him. They've got a little invested in him. Matt Cassel's going to win that job by default. But again, all the knock on Josh McCown, you heard Vic Carucci say, the Bills wanted him. They lost out on him. Josh McCown was a coveted free agent quarterback, believe it or not.
EJ Manuel, it just baffles me that he hasn't figured it out. He has all the intangibles. Just can't play, I guess.
The end of the day, I believe quarterbacking in the National Football League comes down to a couple things. Obviously, you've got to have the physical gifts, but I'm going to assume most of the quarterbacks that make it to the NFL level have the gifts physically. So what is it that separates the great ones? It's the ability to process information before the snap, and then immediately after the snap to know what you're seeing, recognize it, make smart decisions with the football, and then deliver it accurately. That's the key. Who are the best quarterbacks in the NFL? What do they all have in common? They can beat you pre-snap, and then, of course, they beat you post-snap. They're smart with the football. They're accurate with the football. They read defenses and make quick split-second decisions. If you cannot process the information in front of you quickly, you can never be a successful quarterback in the NFL. And part of the disservice being done to a lot of these quarterbacks, like a Johnny Manziel, coming from that spread system, is you're not asked to process information quickly. You're asked to make one read, typically, in those offenses, and that's it. Teddy Bridgewater came into the league with a big advantage. Now, these guys may catch up and surpass him if they have better physical gifts than Teddy as they learn to do that over time. But my point is, initially, Teddy came from a pro offense where he was making his own calls and checks at the line. He was doing all his own deciphering, and that's why he had the quickest transition of any of those rookies into the NFL. That's where the game is won in today's National Football League.
Number two.
Which newcomer will have the biggest impact for the Buffalo Bills in 2015? LeSean McCoy, Charles Clay, or Percy Harvin? That's a pretty impressive offseason, by the way.
It's not bad, but I think Percy Harvin has been a perennially overrated acquisition for every team. We'll see how Charles Clay does in an offense that's not going to feed him the ball quite as much. So I'm going to say, without question, LeSean McCoy. This is a Rex Ryan team. He wants to run the football. I reread Collision Low Crossers while I was flying to and from California over the weekend. That's what Rex wants to do. He wants to run the football. By the way, interesting tidbit I found out from rereading Collision Low Crossers. Jim O'Neill, massive Tom Petty fan.
Really?
I can respect. I'm a big Tom Petty fan.
I love Tom Petty.
I'm running down a dream.
Hey, man. I watched him play a concert once, and he played for 2.5 hours. And I was worried at one point that he might die during it because he sounded like he was losing his voice and could hardly walk. He was having back issues, and he grinded it out, and it was a heck of a show, man.
He's got quite the catalog, too.
Oh, he could play all night. I'd be just fine with it.
Number three.
Defensively for the Buffalo Bills. How do you even begin to prepare for these guys? And who is the one guy that concerns you the most on the defense?
I think Marcell Dareus has an opportunity to be one of the best defensive linemen in the league. But, you know, who concerns you? You've got him. You've got Williams. You've got Mario Williams. You've got both Williams. And, of course, you've got Jerry Hughes. They all concern me a great deal. The way you deal with them is with a great offensive line. So the Browns actually match up pretty well with them. But, you know, a great front is a great front. You saw the game in Buffalo last year, and that was a game where you had to play without Alex Mack, which hurt. But you got to just kind of grind it out. The Browns were certainly in that game. They went the entire third quarter without a first down, if you remember. So they had opportunities in that one. They got the interception down in Buffalo territory and couldn't even convert it into anything. So it's, you know, you got to just play good. You have to have a good offensive line, or they can run you down.
I'm intrigued to see how he fits all these guys in defensively, because there's a lot of talent there. And to rotate those guys, if you over-rotate them, then they're not getting enough snaps.
I don't think he does on that front. I don't think you do it that much. I think you do it how he did when he had the Jets. I mean, you do some rotation, but you play your guys.
I don't know, man. There's some big-time players back behind those guys.
Yeah, none of them are as good as those guys that are
starting. No, I agree, but
it's not like with the Browns, you've got some guys who you're hoping will become elite one day, but you got a Randy Starks. You know, you want to rotate your guys in there. It's not like you have four Pro Bowlers across the front or three in the Browns case.
Yeah. Number four. Question number four today. Give me one area the Browns have gotten better in since that loss to Buffalo, and one area that concerns you still since that day in Buffalo.
The Browns have certainly gotten better on their defensive front. I think that that's going to help them a lot, stopping the run, et cetera. Where am I still concerned?
Correct.
And they're better on the offensive line because Alex Mack's back from that game. Of course, you got Cam Irving in the mix now. So I'd say both lines, the point of attack, the Browns are significantly better than they were a year ago when they faced the Buffalo Bills. And I still hear that darn train in my head. I hated it as it tried to rain on my velvet blazer that day.
Boy, I'll tell you what, though. It was 70 degrees, and like 3 weeks earlier, remember, they had like 4 feet of snow.
800 feet of snow.
Yeah.
I do remember.
It was not horrible in Buffalo that day. It could have been a lot worse.
No. The only thing that was bad was the outcome.
Correct. And maybe my stomach the morning after eating all those wings.
Number five.
Hold on. I didn't say what still concerns me. Quarterback. Wide receiver.
Fair. Sorry. Missed that.
Yes.
Question number five. Final one today. Over under, the Bills will win 8 games.
I'm going to call it a push. I think they go 8-8. I do think it has an opportunity to go over, given the strength of their defense and Rex Ryan and the additions of LeSean McCoy. Actually, I'm going to go over. I'm going to say 9-7 for them.
9-7.
And that'll be good. That'll be good for a second place finish in the AFC East. The Buffalo. It's going to come down to what they do head to head with Miami. That's going to determine who comes in second and third in that division.
Fair enough. Do you think they get into the playoffs?
So I think the playoffs in the AFC, you've got the Patriots.
You don't have to do it all now if you don't want to.
No. I think you've got the Patriots. I think you've got, as long as Peyton's playing, he's the greatest regular season quarterback of all time, so I still think the Denver Broncos make it in, and the Colts make it in. And then we'll say the Steelers win our division. Let's just say that for now. I think you're going to get a wild card to come out of our division, the AFC North. The other wild card, I think, is going to be a big-time battle between San Diego, Kansas City, Houston, and Dolphins, Bills.
Interesting.
You could get both wild cards from our division again. I mean, that's possible as well. Let's go, Browns. Get in there. All right, when we come back, a little higher or lower, plus take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.